Welcome, 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 welcome to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. This is Liz Brown. I am here with Peter Downs. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am very, very good. So we had school board meeting last night.
Yes, there was a quiet little school board meeting last night.
Quiet little school board meeting. What, about 125 people or so?
Yeah.
No protests, no hollering for people that lost their or resigned from their gig and
nope.
Other people that never lost their job. Nobody hollering.
Nope, none of that.
Were the cameras there?
There were a couple cameras there at the start of the meeting.
Uh-huh.
They left fairly quickly.
No noise, huh? I wonder if they were given a heads up that there was going to be lots and lots of noise at the district, and they left in disappointment.
But I don't know.
Uh-huh. So let's talk about the business of the St. Louis Public Schools in terms of how the district is faring at this point in the game. We are, what, a month in? Are we a month in yet?
Almost a month.
Almost a month into the start of the new year. How are we doing?
Well, on enrollment, our enrollment is higher than it was at the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing well there.
Okay.
Finances, there have been some surprises. And probably finances is what really dominated discussion last night.
Okay, so let's talk about that.
We had a finance report from our chief financial officer slash treasurer, Enos Moss, who indicated that in going over the budget, they found several areas that were underfunded and that they're looking at how to move money around to fund those.
And when we're talking about the budget, who put together these numbers for this particular budget? Or how did we get to a place?
The former superintendent, Craig Williams and his staff put together numbers for this budget.
All right. So we're working with the numbers, their budget.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So when we have somebody with experience and familiarity with the district looking at it, he discovers that there's some areas that are underfunded.
Yes. And we'll see an area with the budget, but and later there's a discussion of the strategic plan. One of the common things were kind of an ignorance of Missouri law.
And so
areas underfunded the budget. He didn't really go into details at that point. He said he wanted to come back with the details when they have solutions to propose for how to deal with it. But I asked about one particular area that I had received calls about at home, and that's homeless transportation. I had heard that there was no funding for homeless transportation.
How does that normally work? How has that worked in the past, Peter, this homeless transportation? How does that work?
Well, it as it turns out, the district is required by state law to provide transportation for homeless students to get them to school and then to get them from school to wherever they're staying. And so there should be a line item in the budget allocating X amount of dollars, because some it's by buses, some it's by taxis. It's however the best way to get these kids to school.
Do you have any idea of normally what the funding for something like that is?
I do not know how much it costs. Again, in the I was told in the calls, I'm trying to remember here, but something like 6,000 to 8,000 kids we're talking about. And I heard previous surveys said they're about somewhere around 23-25% of district enrollment is homeless.
Really?
So it's a very large proportion.
Well, you know, given, and this is just an aside, Peter, but given the Francis Slay's history with homelessness and the use of homeless people as free labor to clean up the streets with fake charges against them, being forced to have to do something about homeless people, I guess it really shouldn't come as a surprise that a board majority of his, with the superintendent picked by him, would not have funding for homeless children. I think that that's, you know, I mean, when you look through this, you see some consistencies in, or you can't, I'm seeing a consistency here in this particular political practice of this administration.
All right, but to be fair here, and this is, I guess, the point I was making last night, I mean, this was the budget we adopted in July. And what concerned me most, and rather than the specific amount, what was that here was essentially was an illegal budget. We were not meeting our legal obligations, and we didn't know it. You know, it's not a case where the superintendent said, you know, state law says we have to do X or Y, but I'm going to recommend that we disobey the law, and then we have a debate on whether or not we should disobey the law, and we decided to disobey the law. That didn't happen. Now, this was completely unknowing for us as board members. And so I asked the superintendent and the chief financial officer, they come up with a different reporting such that we can see from doing the budget that we're funding the things that are required by law, funding the things that are required by court order, and then we can also see separately what things are discretionary. Because when we get into a budget crunch, and right now they're trying to shift money, you want to make sure you're shifting money that you're able to shift and not money that's already mandated by law.
But that's my point. Somewhere in the budget, there had to be transportation for homeless in there. Yeah. Somewhere in the budget, somebody said, huh, we can get rid of this and move it someplace else.
Somebody somewhere did.
And somebody...
That degree of detail never made it to us on the board.
Okay, and I'm not talking about board members. I'm talking about what happened before you got to board members and who made that decision.
Right.
And this is the budget that was put together by Craig Williams.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So somebody in that group of people made the decision not to fund that.
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
We're gonna take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Stay with us.
Not since the Civil Rights Act in the 1960s can I think of any bigger initiative that will empower African Americans to have control over their life than the stem cell initiative.
Dr. Michael DeBon, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at Washington University School of Medicine, explains why medical experts, faith leaders, and community leaders urge a yes vote on Amendment 2, the Missouri Stem Cell Research and Cures Initiative on the November state ballot.
Diabetes, sickle cell disease, hypertension. These are the type of diseases that occur in our families, in our community. Stem cell research could lead to cures for those diseases and many others. Please, please join me in voting yes on the Stem Cell Initiative to ensure that all Missourians will have equal access to future stem cell cures. Thank you.
This voter information paid for by the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures, Sandra Oss, Treasurer.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen letting you know my show will be on every Thursday from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Yeah, I'll make you think. You may find yourself saying, oh my God, it burns, it burns. It only hurt for a minute. See you then.
Everything the engineer would move, would they be engineer wanted a bite to eat? Let the monkey sit.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show. Every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
If you have a travel question, we'll try to find the answer for you.
Tell a friend and tune us in 2 to 4 Saturday afternoon on AM 920 WGNU.
Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Caitlin Dixon, calling you from the Clee School, second grade room, 209. I'm calling you to thank you for coming to our school and spending time with our class. School is almost out. This summer, I'm going to spend the summer with my family. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the pretty African necklace you gave me. I just love it. Yesterday, I received an achievement trophy in our Awards Day program. Have a wonderful summer. This is Caitlin Dixon for Room 209. Where dignity reigns supreme. Love you.
Love you.
Dogs say goodnight.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm here with Peter Downs. Peter, welcome back. And, we're talking about the homeless piece, and I want to continue with that discussion because, I don't know, it's important to me. It's one of the issues that when I do my blanket drive that I am trying to help in. So it's one of the things that has my heart. within the St. Louis public schools, because I am astounded by the numbers of homeless children that attend St. Louis public schools. There has to be some kind of office or something that tends to that whose sole purpose is and sole focus is to work on the issues of homeless kids in the St. Louis public schools.
Yes, there is.
And what has happened to that office?
And it's my understanding, and I have to say, I did not ask this last night in the financial discussion. I really focused just on transportation. But, again, from the calls that I've gotten at home, were that office was cut back to one person. And I said, these calls are from people in the district who are concerned about the situation with the homeless. None of them were from that particular person, but people looked at this and say, these cutbacks don't make sense. These kids aren't being served.
And what was that one person supposed to be doing?
Well, there's that one person would be an administrator. Like any administrator, there's a lot of paperwork to do, but they also have the job of making sure that each homeless child gets to school every day, and which... You know, we're talking, again, I said
thousands
somewhere around 6,000 to 8,000 children. That's an awful lot of children for one person to be keeping track of.
And not only that, we're talking about kids that have no may have a residence here today and next week may have another residence. So there's a lot of specific tracking that has to be done. One person cannot track 5,000 cannot. You can't return the phone calls that are needed with 5,000 if they're just 5,000 kids, or if they're more than 5,000 kids and families.
It certainly sounds like a unworkable, situation. Just a way more work than any one person can do.
Mm-hmm. So the office was reduced down to one person.
Yes,
that's your understanding. But
yes,
you don't know how many people it had prior to the reduction of that office.
The immediate prior, I think there have been reductions over the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the last year it had two people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's reduced from one to two. I'm sorry, from two to one.
And then the budget was.
And the budget for transportation was eliminated.
Was eliminated. And that's, we were talking off the air, Peter. That had to be a lot of money. When you're talking about the transportation needs of 5,000 kids, because you can't for real do the bus thing with them, because that's really going to be kind of hard and unworkable. I would imagine that most of these kids were doing the taxi piece or doing some kind of specific little bus type of thing going to where these kids were, which makes the budget for that really a lot of money.
Well, there was a discussion of the total transportation budget last night, and Deanna Anderson, who's over transportation, said transportation in whole was underfunded by between $10 and $12 million.
Wait a minute. In the budget that Craig Williams, Slay's Craig Williams, put together, transportation was underfunded?
Yeah, that the actual cost is going to be $10 to $12 million more than the amount of money that was allocated. And, the contracts, this is not a new contract. We have, I don't know what it was, a 6-8 year contract with Laidlaw, for example, with the bus company. So the cost is actually set.
So how hard, even those of us that are not, we're not the people that are putting together budgets or multi-billion dollar budgets, that's an easy one to be able to, okay, this is what it cost last year, this is what it's going to cost. That's an easy budget to track.
Yes.
And it still came up underfunded by $10 million?
Yes.
So what does a district do when transportation, and also, this is the same district that wanted to spend more money and give the money to MetroLink or to Metro,
right,
or I'm sorry, Bi-State, to use passes to get kids to school. What does the district do that's $10 million short on transportation?
Well, we got to find the money somewhere, and that's somewhere else from the budget. And that's a recommendation that the administration will be bringing to the board at a later date.
So, with respect, getting back to the homeless piece, so what has been done? So, where are we with the homeless kids and the budget for transportation for homeless kids?
Well, we are trying to provide the transportation. I think the district knows that it has to provide it, and I don't know where the money's coming from, but they said they'd come back at a later date with a proposal from what to cut in order to fund this.
And the other, one more thing about this before we move on is, if you are a district that is concerned about getting kids to school, actually, homeless kids can kind of be almost a captive audience. That's kind of one guaranteed way of getting, making certain that the numbers are where they are, where they're supposed to be in order to maintain or to achieve accreditation.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a missed opportunity.
Well, it is, and it's probably not surprising, given cutbacks in homeless transportation, given what we discussed last year, cutbacks in high school transportation, mm-hmm. that over the last 3 years, as we've discussed on this program, accreditation points have been dropping, so has attendance in the district. Now, it was presented last night. Steady drop in attendance rate over the last 3 years, steady drop in graduation rate over the last 3 years. Now, those are two things under the new round of accreditation. Those are two things that are measured and you get points for, are attendance and graduation.
And again, this is not rocket science.
No, it's not.
It is not. There should be a list in everybody's office of the things that we are measured by to get accreditation, let alone it should be in the superintendent's office.
Right.
So transportation, okay, to keep our accreditation, we need to get more kids to school.
I mean, right.
It's not rocket science. And that was the area where we had cutbacks.
Right.
It is almost like somebody had the list on their wall and it was opposite day for the superintendent.
Yeah.
You know, okay, we're going to do all of the things to make certain that we don't get accreditation,
right.
Checking the things off the list.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it is. You have to look at a lot of things were done, and it really looks like someone's going down the list, just like says, okay, we don't want accreditation. What do we do to not get accreditation? Oh, well, let's cut attendance.
There you go.
Know?
Cut transportation. Cut all the things that get to attendance.
Right.
Okay, so where do we go from here in terms of, okay, you talked about transportation last night. You talked about the homeless, the specific piece of the transportation picture. What else?
Well, one more thing I want to add about transportation, because part of the discussion last night is came up with a resolution for the board to approve the bus routes.
Mm-hmm.
And this, again, is something mandated by state law. Every year by October, I think it is, school boards across the state are supposed to approve the bus routes for getting kids to school. And we've been out of compliance with that for the last few years. Last year, they didn't actually approve the bus routes until June, until after the school year was over. So this year, the movement there to meet state law, do what state law says, and approve these bus routes. And there's a big discussion of that because board member Archibald was adamant, was very, very strongly opposed to approving the bus routes because he didn't know exactly how much they were going to cost. And this issue, we were just saying, oh, well, if it's underfunded, where's the money coming from? How can we possibly vote for someone where we don't know where the money's coming from? And so he essentially was advocating, I guess a kind of civil disobedience. He was advocating that we disobey the law because we don't have all the answers yet. And I think most of us would say, well, you know, the law says we have to do this. The actual specifics about how many bus routes there will be and how we're going to pay for it really is a management function. You know, not the board's job to micromanage to that extent. But it is a policy thing to say we have the bus routes and state law says the board has to approve them.
So this is from the guy who said hands off to Craig Williams. You know, we don't want to micromanage him. We want to give him his lead, let him do what he wants to do. So now he's at, again, opposite day.
Opposite day.
Now it is that he wants to manage what Barso is supposed to be doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, give an example before. He's the guy who opposed asking Craig Williams to come back with recommendations for discipline policy. He said, well, oh, no.
Micromanage.
Yeah, that's micromanage. But now saying, well, we can't obey state law unless we know exactly what the routes are and how much each costs. Somehow, it's opposite day, just like I said.
We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. This is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's weather for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Sunny today, high in the upper 60s this evening, mostly clear, low in the upper 40s for Thursday. Partly sunny with a high in the lower 70s. And Friday, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers. Possible thunderstorm even with a high around 80. Currently, we have 46 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 45. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. St. Louis Schools Watch is next with Peter Downs. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need to turn your home into a palace. Right there at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union, Union and Natural Bridge, 3425 Union. Get on down there. I know you've got some things that you need because it's wintertime. It's starting to get fall. Moving into winter, we want to nestle in our homes. Well, let's make our homes a palace because we're going to be in there for the winter months. My name is Liz Brown. You know what? When you get on over to 3425 Union, tell them I told you to.
There are infinite dynamics in business. For instance, the just-in-time inventory that really is dynamic. Or the every SKU already has a customer dynamic. Or the I've escaped from the crushing shackles of my supply chain dynamic. How do you achieve these kinds of dynamics? Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
Today, many advances in technology have benefited the field of criminal justice, and new jobs are emerging. How can you get involved? The ITT Tech School of Criminal Justice. With a degree in criminal justice, you can pursue various career opportunities involving corrections, workplace security, and private investigations. Call now for an ITT Tech brochure. 800-ITT-3169. That's 800-ITT-3169. 3169. Not offered at every campus. Check the ITT Tech for a list of programs offered.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Liz.
Good morning. Who's this?
This is Dontrell Busby calling you from McLean School, Zachary Gray, room 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the gift from Africa that you gave to everyone. We are watching a movie. The movie is called Roots. In the movie, the setting is in a village called Jufurey. And Roots was voted by Alex Haley. Miss Liz, we had our Awards Day program, and I received an achievement trophy. Have a good summer. Dr. Busby from 209 for Dignity. Rise Supreme. Love you.
Love you. Thank you.
What a wonderful world.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning wake-up call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. Let me get to a caller or two here. Mac. Mac. Okay, we'll get to Mac in just a minute. Let's get to some of the other issues on the consent agenda.
All right, yeah. Another issue that had debate really was to pay a bill from John Smith Masonry for a sign at Carnahan High School.
$20,000?
$20,000 for a masonry.
$20,000 for a sign in front of Carnahan Middle School?
Yes.
It's a high school now. What was the discussion on this?
Well, the discussion, and Board Member Archibald brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
He asked whether the school was outfitted with all the computers and technology it needs.
So does it have a computer?
And it's not. It has very little that it actually needs.
Okay, all right.
So he said he's very concerned about the priorities of getting a sign when you haven't outfitted the school.
Oh, my God. I'm in agreement with Bob Archibald. He's absolutely right.
He is. He's absolutely.
$20,000 when you have a school that doesn't have computers, doesn't have books. Why on earth would this pass?
Well, I agree with you. I mean, he is absolutely right on that.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
And the trouble is that he's raising that issue about 9 months too late.
Typical. Yeah, I knew it was too good to be true. I knew it was too good to be true. I knew it was too good to be true that he was right on an issue for the right reason.
That's right. See, this is what this is paying a bill, a past due bill, for a contract that was entered into in December last year.
So he said put a $20,000 masonry sign in front of Carnahan when they don't have books and they don't have computers. And then what is there? It's this big hunk of slab of stone sitting there waiting to be finished?
Stone and brick. Well, the work's all done. The sign's all done.
Oh, the sign's done.
Yeah, the sign's been done.
Isn't that something? It's
paying a bill for a legal contract, a bill that's due, a bill that was due months ago. And not paid, and we're paying it, and I agree with him on the priorities, but this was a decision that was
made
by Craig Williams and the board that supported him.
And all of this. So
Archibald supported all that last December.
So is there, what's the phrase I'm looking for? Have you no shame, Bob Archibald? You are complaining about the priorities of paying a $20,000 bill that for a concrete sign in front of a high school that doesn't have books or computers, you're complaining about it. After you approved it, and now the board is stuck with paying the bill that you didn't raise a single issue about back then.
Well, absolutely, it's large enough. The board had to have approved this contract
absolutely
beforehand. So almost a year ago, November or December last year, the board voted to approve this contract.
And so, what was Archibald's vote last night?
Well, he voted not to pay.
So, in other words, he was voting to mess up the credit rating or to mess up the reputation of this district. He contracted for it. They provided the services. And now Bob Archibald is saying, bump that, don't pay him.
Right. Bob is saying, don't pay the contracts that I approved. That's what he said. This is a contract he voted for. And now he's saying, well, yeah, I vote, but don't pay it.
But don't pay it because it's bad.
Right.
Outrageous, absolutely outrageous. And, of course, Ron Jackson said, me too.
That was a 5-2 vote.
He's kind of like, Ron Jackson is kind of like the Clarence Williams of the Supreme Court. Whatever Scalia says, Clarence Thomas is right there. So whatever Bob Archibald says, Ron Jackson is me too. So,
well, there were a couple items where Archibald stood alone.
Same with Clarence, but most of the time he's right there. So what other issues are on the agenda?
There's an issue here that I pulled and discussed about air conditioning for Shaw.
Which one is that?
From Performance. That's number 12 on the agenda there. The board had approved last year a different air conditioning contract for this school, and they came back. Deanna Anderson from operations came back. It turns out that the contract that was brought to the board before and the board approved didn't meet the bid requirements. It didn't provide the system that is needed to actually air condition the school. So since she took over running operations and has new people in there, they looked it over and says, this doesn't do the job. They talk to the contractor. The contractor says, oh, well, to actually do that stuff, it'll cost you, X hundreds of thousands of dollars more. Yeah, change order.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, no, we're going to pull that, and we'll go to the next bidder. We reviewed it and said, okay, what the next bidder is proposing does do the job. It's cheaper now than the guy who wants to change orders. And they talked to him and confirmed that, and so they came to us and said, change the contracts.
And it was a 7-0 vote?
It was a 7-0 vote.
Everybody voted for it?
Everybody voted for that one. I asked, my question really was, have you put a process in place to make sure this doesn't happen again?
Mm-hmm.
That when you bring bids to the board, they actually are the best bid. And she said yes.
We did that with the last election. 7-0. 7-0. Okay. That's shocking, but good. Okay.
Yeah.
What else?
Another issue actually related to air conditioning again. There was a change order at Bush AAA with to extend some corridor walls. This turned out to be a fire safety issue that wasn't addressed before. And Jackson had pulled that to discuss to raise the issue of change orders, as we were just discussing in the previous one. And he's wants to make sure we don't have an error again with lots of change orders. He just wanted to raise that concern, and then we voted for it, and that passed 7-0.
Okay. And again, it's another 7-0, another 7-0. Let me get to another caller or two here. Keith, you have a question or comment?
Yes, Liz, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to your guest, Peter. My daughter attends Central Visual and Performing Arts, and she was taking a blanket out of here this morning. I was taking her to her bus stop, and I was asking her, I said, why do you need a blanket? She rides Laidlaw buses, and she says that the bus driver told them that they aren't allowed to turn the heat on the buses until October. Have you ever heard of anything like this?
I hadn't heard of this specific instance. I have heard of things like that that are always just as silly. I have heard of large companies having policies that say, you know, dictate when the heating and air conditioning goes on by the calendar rather than by the weather.
But I also, but to me, and I work in a building where there's a date specific where the heat turns on as at a certain date and the air conditioning turns on at a certain date. I kind of can appreciate a building of this size, over 13 floors, having to, you know, we can't turn the heat on and then there be cool days or warm days and then have to flip back to air conditioning because of all of the changes that's involved
Right, but he's talking about a bus.
I know. A bus is a whole different thing.
Yeah. The heat is just a waste heat from the engine.
It makes sense to me. I mean, it's cool out here in the morning.
Yes, it is. Yes,
it
is.
And, you know, they need to turn the heat on and knock the chill off of those buses that have been sitting all night.
Oh,
you know,
I agree.
These students get on. My daughter catches the bus at 5:57 in the morning, which the bus isn't on time. It doesn't get there, you know, every morning at that time. So sometimes, you know, they're sitting outside or standing outdoors in the dark, you know, until 6:15 or so, like they were there to 6:19 this morning, and the bus was supposed to be there at 5:57.
So, Peter, what should be done in a case like this?
Well, I think you should call the transportation office down at St. Louis Public Schools,
yes.
And I will call also. I will find out also what's going on, because you're right. It's with a bus, it's no big deal to warm it up.
Yeah, because she said the bus driver told them that the buses haven't even been serviced for the winter yet, as far as the heating systems checked on them.
Well, that's no excuse either. I mean, it's still
it's crazy.
The heat on.
Yes, I mean, you know, they need something on those buses. She's got carrying a blanket to school
That's
in the
ridiculous.
Morning.
That is absolutely ridiculous. Keith, how about this? Give them a call, and then let me know how it turns out. And, Peter, you said that you're going to give
them. Yeah, I will call as well.
Okay, I'll call you tomorrow morning.
Very good.
Thank you, Keith.
1-877-920-WGNU. Ike.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm talking to Peter.
Good morning.
I was up a busing for about 4 years. I was laid off at GM. I went back to retire. And I was over busing at U City, Kirkwood, High Ridge, and I was over all that safety and teaching student drivers how to drive the buses. We'll require the drivers to be at the yards early enough to start your buses up, come back into the waiting room, let them warm up the buses. I mean, on a cool day like this, they turn the B in. If not, we'll use measures to make sure they don't do it again. All buses leave a lot. The one that's clear and they are warm. You ain't going to turn the heat on, and the buses should be serviced or winterized before they go by to school. It's just common sense, man.
All right.
R.W. Harmon, we were the best out there. Not one fatality, but we made one mistake. We took over that city contract, and that little girl got killed out there on 70, and along with Alexandra, I knew those two girls and their parents. That guy was driving a bus. He was high for PCP and alcohol, and they were racing when that ward body left the frame of that bus. And I told Casino, my boss, not to take that contract.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Sounds very simple. And that sounds like good practices. It makes sense that buses should be out there warming up before the babies get on there.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And yeah, his other remark, I think, is right. It just makes sense that they would have serviced all the buses before they started the school year, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that is something to look into, because that's ridiculous that a baby has to take a blanket to school to get on the bus to stay warm.
Yes.
1-877-920-WGNU. Let me get to one more call, and then I think we're going to take a break. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Robin.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Downs.
Good morning.
I just wanted to call to let Mr. Downs and the other board members know I think you're doing an excellent job. I'm very proud of this the situation that's going on. And what's happening in our school area now, our school district now. And I just wanted to call about the school bus situation.
All right.
You only have to ride, what, 10, 15 minutes, wear a heavier jacket, you know. I can understand a child being, you know, cold on the bus, but that's just the least of our worries.
But here's the thing. If you're willing to let babies go to school cold, what else are you willing to let babies do? Okay. If they are entitled to, they should. Why should a child have to bring a jacket when the buses should be warm for them? It says that we care about our students. We want them to feel comfortable when they get in the school. We want them to be protected. They should be warm.
Well, that's true, and I understand what you're saying, Ms. Brown. And I also have an issue with the uniforms of O'Shawn High School. You know, when school, you know, the first day of school, you know, it was a lot of kids, you know, a lot of teenagers, you know, going to O'Shawn, and they didn't have the uniforms, you know, the shirts prepared, you know, the O'Shawn uniform shirts prepared. So they allowed the students to come in with just a white shirt and khaki pants. You know, on that Friday, I think it was like 2 weeks after school, you know, when school was in session, they told the kids, you know, they didn't send a letter home to the parents or anything, or let the kids know ahead of time that, you know, now we have uniform shirts. So you can't come to school Monday with your white T-shirt on. So a lot of kids were turned away from school. And, you know, I had an issue with that.
I have an issue with that, too. Peter?
Yeah, and I actually want to relate the two, both cold buses and turn the kids away from school there.
Because
and just
a,
say,
a,
you're
a,
right.
They don't have a Vachon.
All right.
That's right.
All right.
There are hard things to do to fix the schools, and both of those are easy things. Things where it seems like people are almost going out of their way to make it harder on kids. You know, we should be welcoming. The little things we can do, we should be doing automatically.
There you go. And it also goes to the whole, we looking at these children and seeing them as valuable. You know, I mean, if you turn a kid away from school for wearing a T-shirt instead of bringing them into school and finding something for the kid to do, then you're saying, you know what, so what, education doesn't matter, you don't matter, go home, because we don't care.
Yeah.
We'll be back, stay with us.
It's time to start.
Ready, go. Blue Man Group Live. You've seen their theatrical shows. Now, experience what a Blue Man does to a rock concert. It's incredible. Dazzling. Overload your senses. Blue Man Group.
Your attention, please.
Live.
It's time to start.
Blue Man Group. With guest vocalist Tracy Bonham. Capture it live.
Rock concert movement number one.
Charter Communications welcomes the Megastar Tour. Blue Man Group. Saturday, October 21st, the Scott Trade Center, formerly Savas Center.
Here are your instructions.
Get tickets now at the Scott Trade Center box office. All Ticketmaster ticket centers. By phone at 314-241-1888 or 618-222-2900 and online at Ticketmaster.com. Get yours. Please yell if you are paying attention.
Praise the Lord, everyone. This is the Elder Mitchell Thornton of the All Request Sweet Sounds of Music. We bring you the best gospel sounds in St. Louis, as well as the up-to-date church news to help you plan your weekend worship every Saturday morning from 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on WGNU 920 on your radio dial.
Does your life need to be energized? Are you in need of some direction and clarity? Is your stuff dragging you down?
Tune into Sort It Out with Lori and Claire, Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. We'll help you find the courage to make a change in your life.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Casey Marshall calling you from Laclede School, room 209. Miss Liz, I love the African necklace I wore to Red Lobster. I wish I could go with you to Ghana. Miss Liz, you are the best and one of a kind. Miss Liz, this is Casey Marshall from room 209, where dignity reigns supreme.
Hey, baby.
Have a great summer. Love you.
Love you.
The dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. Peter, any other items of concern or illumination on the consent agenda that you want to bring to folks' attention about what was done last night?
No, not really. There's some other things that passed 7-0. There's a contract with a College Summit working in all of our high schools to work with the kids to get them ready for college, let them know what college is about, how to apply, financial aid options, those kind of things, which I think is a good program. And that passed 7-0 as well.
Very good. Okay, so let me get to another caller or two here. You're on the St. Louis Public Schools Watch.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I wanted to ask good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
I wanted to ask him if why are those trailers in the back of Cobrillion School? I think it's Cobrillion's at Cottage and another Cottage and whatever. But anyhow, I was there.
Okay, if you're going to ask where they are, we kind of need to know where they are.
Yeah, it's at Cottage. It's on Cottage.
Peter,
yeah, I think
between Marcus and Newstead.
Yeah,
and
I think
I was just wanting to.
Lindsay, wait,
so
Lindsay.
That the children couldn't play in the yard.
Lindsay,
and
Lindsay.
Been there for quite a while.
Miss Lindsay, hold on for a second. Let Peter answer.
Yeah. Actually, Cope Brilliant was mentioned last night. Cope Brilliant is being air conditioned.
Okay.
So those would be contractor trailers.
Mm. All right.
Okay.
All right, that answers the question, because I was just wondering.
All right, glad
I
for the question.
I was hoping they weren't closing the school.
Good question, good looking out.
All right, thank you.
All right. So what else do we have, Peter?
Yeah, there's a proposal, I actually brought it up, to contact planning firms to come make a public presentation to the board on what the planning services are for school districts. We've had a lot of comments from different board members about the need for planning. There were some last night. Arrange different areas. Archibald is still saying we have too many schools. Other people say other things. But so I had a motion that three board members didn't even want to discuss, you know, previously. But to actually bring in these firms that do planning for school districts to give presentations about what they do, so we at least all have the same vocabulary when we talk about planning, and we decide what's wanted. And that ended up passing 5-1-1. Archibald, who keeps saying we need to look at our facilities and close facilities, was against doing that in a planned way.
Well, fair enough. You know, since when do we do planning? Since when do we do planning? Okay. And what was the abstention?
Flint Fowler abstained.
Okay. Huh. Okay.
Ron Jackson voted for it.
Clarence Thomas voted for it. What's Scalia does. Ah, interesting. Okay, so what other issues do we have? We have a few more minutes here, and I want to get to a couple of callers, but let's get to some more of this. If you don't mind, I'd like to take up an issue. I am amused by this presentation from Mary Armstrong and the Teachers Union. I certainly would have liked to have seen such language when she was talking to, Bill Roberti or, Floyd Cruz or Pamela Hughes or Craig Williams. Your negotiation team's discussion on the issues presented was insulting and offensive. Sweetie, I know what insulting and offensive was, and it was before. Talk to us about the issues that that Mary Armstrong brought up with the teachers union.
Okay, a little background. Apparently there was a labor management meeting last Thursday, and the union walked out. And they presented a list of issues. Mary Armstrong handed each board member, had handed us what she said was a list of issues. And it's, it's a little unclear what the union's position is on any of these, but there were 9 issues.
Well, when I look at them as issues, they don't seem to be issues. It's kind of like a Craig Williams list in terms of it's there's nothing specific about it in terms of a thing. You know what I mean? I mean, looking at this list, she could do, the union could do better.
Well, it could, and presumably there is something in more detail. I'm assuming something more detail was given to the negotiating committee in these management labor meetings. The board members are not in those meetings. We don't know what happened in those meetings unless people come and tell us.
Right.
Right. And so her way of telling us, I think, does need more information to know what happened. Some of these things, I had asked or heard other things about. So one item on there was the pay for the non-certificate employees, pay for paraprofessionals and secretary clericals. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to get a raise. They got 3% 2 weeks ago, 3% mm-hmm. added their checks.
And she's saying that that's not enough.
The union position is that they're supposed to get $1,000.
Okay.
I'd heard about this discrepancy before and asked the superintendent.
So that 2 to 3% doesn't get them to $1,000.
That's not 2 to 3. It's 3%.
3%.
It is 3%.
Okay, 3%.
And for some people it doesn't. For some people it's less than half that, less than $500. Okay. You know, some people make very little.
Okay.
The administration's position is that they paid the raise specified in the policy statement. Mm. The union's position is they did not pay the raise specified in the policy statement. I don't know how there can be a difference on that unless the policy statement isn't very well written.
Who writes
and it may not be.
And who writes the policy statement?
Well, the lawyers for both sides, lawyers for the board and lawyers for the union, get together and agree on the language.
Interesting. So what else did Mary and Tough Talk and Mary say last night with respect to those issues?
Well, that was one issue they brought up. Another issue that they brought up, they told me, was the union wants to be involved in professional development.
Mm-hmm.
And from union people, I've heard different stories as to whether the answer was no or it was yes, we'll consider your proposals like we'll consider other proposals. Either way, the union seems to feel the response was, again, insulting. My understanding from staff is that they're involving teachers now. They did a survey of teachers. They got 1,400 responses about what they think is most important in professional development.
There was a survey given to the teachers.
Given the teachers. And 1,400 teachers responded about what they thought was most important in professional development. And they are using, the staff is using that, but first step is to create the infrastructure, the office and staff who's going to be doing ongoing professional development.
Because that was eliminated.
That was eliminated on Roberta. We just contracted everything out, had paid hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars outside people
to come
and do it.
For people to come in and do a three-hour seminar for $100,000.
Exactly. So now it's all, so we have to create the staff to do something in-house, to set up programs in-house. So my understanding is the administration's position is we're creating that staff, and once we have it in place, and we know what the state is requiring, we'll be happy to have input from the teachers on how to meet these state requirements.
Well, maybe if Mary wouldn't spend so much time talking to Archibald and Jackson and Fowler, maybe she would have a little bit more clarity on these issues. Blinda, good
morning. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
We were speaking in terms of the paraprofessional raise, the 3%. I think some of the concerns are we don't understand what was the base where the 3% came in.
Which hunk of money the 3% was based upon?
Exactly.
Okay.
What steps did they use? Each of us are on different steps.
Who's the they you're referring to, Belinda, when you say what steps they use?
HR, I don't know who handles the pay raises. But the concern is,
what are you being told by the union? What are you being told?
We're being told that it's still all pending and it's still in negotiation and that these problems are being looked into. That's the only thing that we're being told.
Okay. Now, I just want to tell you, the statement from Mary Armstrong and Byron Clemens added to it, they're saying it should not be 3%. It should be a flat $1,000 per person.
Okay.
I don't know. The policy statement should say what it's supposed to be.
Absolutely.
Belinda, before you go to that, have you seen the policy statement? Has Mary Armstrong showed you the policy statement where it says that everybody agreed that you're supposed to get $1,000?
No.
You think that that's something that you probably need to see?
Absolutely.
Ask her for that, because if it's supposed to be in the policy statement, somebody should be able to show you where it says that.
Right. I understand that.
Yeah.
Also,
I'm still wondering,
the 28-minute extra pay from 05-06.
Yeah.
We're waiting for that.
Yeah. Good point.
That's a very good point. To tell you, I don't understand how there can be disagreement on that. The administration's position is that that was paid. I don't see how, you know, that seems a very simple thing to me to find, to determine whether it was paid or was not paid. I don't see how there can be disagreement on whether or not it was paid.
The $1,000, take a look at, have your leadership, have Mary Armstrong show you where it says that. And I think that will help. Don't you think?
Absolutely.
Okay,
yes, I do.
Got to roll. Thank you so much, Belinda. Thanks for your call. Peter Downs, thank you so much.
You're always welcome.
Great information, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. I'll be back, folks. Stay with me.
Wonder and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. She's back home with her mother. There's a happy ending to the case of missing baby Abby, and a suspect is in custody. More from reporter Chris Pilsek in St. Louis.
FBI Special Agent in Charge Roland Corvington says Dorothy Torres gave Shannon Beck a ride to the doctor, thinking she had just given birth days before. On the way, Torres discovered makeup that was covering a birthmark on the infant's forehead, like the one described in the Amber Alert. Corvington says the sister-in-law confronted Beck, then called police.
And the sister-in-law got in a van with a friend, and they arranged to meet sheriff's deputies.
Abby Woods is in good condition and has been reunited with her family. Prosecutors say they will discuss charges against Beck Wednesday morning. Chris Pilsek, ABC News, St. Louis.
Now, if you were in your car, you wouldn't think twice about dragging some debris along. Then again, when it's the space shuttle like Atlantis, that debris could keep the crew from getting back to Earth safely. NASA is looking at a few pieces of debris. The space agency's already pushed the landing back to at least tomorrow. Should the U.S. put up a fence along hundreds of miles of Mexican border, the Senate could take up the issue today.
It's a tacit admission the president's overall immigration reform bill is dead for now. The Senate, poised to take up a measure passed by the House that just includes 700 miles of double fences and sensors along the southwest border. No guest worker program, no path to citizenship for illegals already in this country.
ABC's Vic Ratner at the Capitol. President Bush wraps up his diplomatic trip to the United Nations with a visit from Mahmoud Abbas. The Palestinian leader is an important U.S. ally for the White House. Abbas also needs support. He'd lost a lot of power when Hamas won the last Palestinian election. About 5,000 people attended today's public memorial to the late Steve Irwin. The Crocodile Hunter's 8-year-old daughter, Bindi, spoke for the family.
I know that Daddy had an important job. He was working to change the world so everyone would love wildlife like he did.
This is ABC News.
The following message brought to you as a public service by Arid Extra Dry.
The Wetness Protection Program is here to protect every American from wetness and odor, and there's a battle to become its executive director.
My administration will put wetness and odor on notice permanently.
Wetness and odor on the streets. America, haven't you had enough?
If elected, you won't find me off fishing or hunting or golfing. Well, maybe golfing.
Your vote counts. Go to wetnessprotectionprogram.com to meet this week's candidates.
To fight wetness and odor, just apply Arid Extra Dry.
You know what this Wednesday is? It's Big Wednesday at Kohl's, where there are great deals to be had on the latest fall fashions. I'm here with super stylist Sean, chatting about fall's new looks. Sean?
There's a lot of fun playing with dressier styles and fabrics.
Velvet and luxe, right?
Yes, and fitted jackets over jeans. Mix it up at home, too, with dressy pillows and tableware for every day. Easy glamour.
Easy enough. At Kohl's Big Wednesday, save 40 to 50% on fashion for you and your home. This Wednesday only, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. at Kohl's. Expect great things.
You've heard of companies trimming their workforces, but probably not like this. Here's ABC's Chuck Severson.
A review suggested the move could save money in the long run, so in Austin, Texas, Travis County commissioners okayed a pilot program to offer weight loss surgery to employees. It's sometimes called stomach stapling and can cost up to $25,000. 15 surgeries a year for 5 years will be funded. To qualify, county employees would have to be diagnosed with morbid obesity and go through a year of monitored, unsuccessful dieting and exercise. The county estimates as many as 400 of its 4,100 employees employees would be eligible. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
HPV has gotten a lot of attention this year with the approval of a vaccine to prevent it in younger women. Now older women may be paying more attention to the virus, too. A new study says not only does HPV increase the risk of cervical cancer, but it also makes it more difficult to conceive using in vitro fertilization. I'm Daria Olbinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's weather for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Mostly sunny today. High in the upper 60s this evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 40s. Thursday, partly sunny, high in the lower 70s. And then on Friday, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers with a high around 80. Currently, we have 49 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 48. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. It's open line, so get on the phone now and call. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the wake up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Land of Goshens, we have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Would you get to me? We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. I think that we need to pay attention. We need to get engaged in. We need to be on the move of. We need to we need to be involved in the elections that are coming up in November. My concern is that there's a given, that there may be a given, but there may be a given that the Democrats are ahead. Please don't underestimate the wonderful component of this election that has been removed. High gas prices. That was a constant reminder. Every hour of every day, every minute of every hour, someone in America was reminded of how awful their world was when they pulled up into a gas station and had to pay $3 a gallon for gas. Every single second of every day, someone in America was getting pissed off. Every single second. Now people are, now things aren't better for people. And will 60 days, will people feel when holidays come up and Christmas is on the minds of folks and that whole nestle down, eat good foods, get fat period of the calendar comes into play? Are people still going to have their anger in a touchable, tangible way? It's going to do to touch